This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Time now to go around the National Football League. And to do that, we bring on one of our pals. He, of course, from ESPN, former Jet GM, Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the Michael K. Show. Mike T., Stan Grasse, happy Thanksgiving, my friend. How are we?
I'm doing great, Dan. Lots to be thankful for and great to be on with you, my friend.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. Let's get right to it. Of course, the big news this week with the Jets. They'll have a new quarterback coming up on Sunday. Do you think that if you're Robert Saleh, that was a move that had to be made given everything that transpired there in the last week?
Yeah, absolutely. Talked about it all week on all the platforms. And what he just did is he just saved a whole bunch of problems coming down the pike. And what I mean by that, Dan, is if you don't hold players accountable, you really don't stand for anything. So I can't tell you how many problems didn't come up because of what he just did. Because the inverse is the next time a player was late, the next time a player didn't make weight and he fined them, he would have an uproar on his hands because they would say, like, well, wait a second, Zach Wilson stinks and you're still playing him and he's not even holding himself accountable. Why would you treat us differently? So I give Robert Saleh a lot of credit. He made the right decision.
Now, Robert Saleh, in the same vein, was also quick to point out and to stress that this is not the end for Zach Wilson with the Jets. They're using this, or they're calling this a reset, that they expect him maybe even to get back out on the field again in 2022. Is that also possibly a dangerous kind of message to send out, Mike? Because you don't want to maybe back yourself into a corner, because let's say Mike White starts winning games with the Jets. They can't possibly go back to Zach Wilson in that sense, can they?
Yeah, that look, you know, I've been in those situations. It's hard to give the perfect answer to every question, you know, especially in this market, Dan. So, look, the bottom line is this. Mike White goes out and plays well. They have a shot to make the playoffs. That would change the trajectory of, you know, his tenure as a head coach dramatically. He knows that. Everyone knows that. So he gave the best answer he could. But the best players are going to play. That's what the NFL is all about. The best coaches stay, the best players play, and that's why people love the NFL. So Mike White plays well. He's not coming out. We all know that.
Do you agree with making Zach Wilson the third-string quarterback and the fact that he's essentially a healthy scratch and in terms of not just you didn't lose your job, you got demoted two steps down the totem pole?
Yeah, I said that all week, Dan. You know, he had no choice. You know, it's a privilege to put a jersey on game day in the NFL. Very few people on the planet get to do that. It's a privilege that's earned. And let's face it, he hasn't earned it. So that was the only decision, in my opinion, that Coach Saleh made, and he made the right one. And if, you know, Zach Wilson becomes the first one in, the last to leave, has great weeks at practice, knows his assignments, holds himself accountable, maybe he can earn himself, you know, some more reps down the road. But this was absolutely the only decision that Saleh can make.
Jets are playing the Bears on Sunday, and we know the Bears are rebuilding, and their offense is going to look dramatically if Justin Fields can't go as opposed to Trevor Siemian. Now, Matt Eberflus said today that Justin Fields has to be cleared even further because he's still dealing with that shoulder injury. Given the type of defense the Jets are, and we know they can get after the quarterback, and they're one of the top units in the NFL, and given how much Justin Fields means to the future of the Chicago Bears, if you're Matt Eberflus, Mike, do you maybe err on the side of caution a little bit further and maybe have him sit this one out this week in light of maybe not having him injure it even further?
No, look, if he's clear to play, go play. You know, those are decisions made by the medical staff. So Justin Fields is a great player, and he's had a really good year. He's going to handle the ball a lot between passing and running, and those decisions should be made, Dan, by the medical staff.
All right, let's talk about the Giants. We saw them yesterday. You know, couldn't really get much going in the second half offensively, kind of like the game last week against the Detroit Lions. They've lost back-to-back games now. We know they're extremely, extremely banged up, but any little bit of concern about this Giants team that maybe they're going to be unable to recapture some of those good vibes that they've had for the most part this season?
Look, I think Brian Daboll is doing all the things that Robert Saleh is learning about this year, you know, about how to manage the team, give yourself the best chance to win, not make excuses. And I think Brian Daboll's, in my book, the coach of the year because of this. So you know, they played a team they were definitely overmatched by, pretty close for three quarters, and they need to add some skill players. We all know that, and that could come in the form of OBJ or maybe in the offseason, but I think this organization is a million miles further along because of Brian Daboll's coaching.
No doubt about that. And you know, but also Saquon Barkley is a guy who's had a tremendous season, and he factored in prominently to the success they had, you know, when they were winning games before this little two-game slump. He hasn't really gotten going the last two games. You know, they've had difficulty running the football. You could point to a myriad of reasons, right? They become one-dimensional, missing guys on that offensive line. Any concern that maybe Barkley is not going to be able to get that run game going again for this team, which would make things that even more difficult for the offense the rest of the way?
So, Dan, I think it's more a function of, like, how the opposition sees it. Let's face it, if we were the defensive coordinator of the Cowboys, everything would begin and end with, what, two things, keeping Daniel Jones in the pocket and, you know, keeping Saquon Barkley bottled up, meaning keep him out of space, keep him set the edge, keep him between the tackles. He's also a great, you know, really, like, to me, where he's really a difference maker is in the passing game. So he's incredibly valuable, Dan. They have to keep him. And I'll tell you this, if Daniel Jones hits him on that fourth down play, Barkley may have scored, and that whole game yesterday may have been different. So their struggles, to me, I don't put on Saquon. I think he's definitely part of the solution.
Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on the Michael Kay Show, 98.7 ESPN. All right, you mentioned the quarterback in Daniel Jones. Still very much an evaluation period for him. Perhaps he's back next year, even if it's for a short-term deal. But as you're the Giants and you're still trying to make this evaluation as to whether or not he is the answer long-term, do you look at games maybe like the last couple, Mike, to where, okay, things have broken down around him, whether it's the injuries, lack of effectiveness, whatever, that if you do truly have a special player at the position, aren't they supposed to put that all on their shoulders and still find a way to keep this offense moving and to score points?
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. But I think, you know, I see this one a little bit differently. I would try to keep him, Dan, and keep looking. So there's nothing wrong with giving him a 2 to 3 year extension and then try to maybe draft another quarterback at some point. But, you know, think about the inverse here for a second. If Daniel Jones isn't on this team, how many wins do they have? Or alternatively, put Daniel Jones on the Jets, and what does their season look like? And that's why if I'm the Giants, I have to sign Jones, because I don't know who I'm going to get to replace him that would be better than him.
It's so funny you said that, Mike, because, you know, in the midst of this whole quarterback thing with the Jets, the conversations I've had with people out there, I even use that as an example. I said, if Daniel Jones was on the Jets all season, they're in first place right now. Easy.
Yeah, I don't know if they're in first place, but, boy, it's interesting where they would be, right? So I think, again, Barkley to me is easy. You can't operate the franchise without him. He's a great player. He's high character. He's great out of the backfield. His pass protection's gotten better. Daniel Jones, to me, is like, hey, look, keep him at the table and keep looking for options because, again, the alternative right now could be worse for them.
If you're looking at the NFC right now, here we are at Thanksgiving, and we still have, you know, 6-7 games left to play. Where is San Francisco in your pecking order as to maybe the teams most likely to come out of the conference and get to a Super Bowl?
You know, I like them. Look, when Jimmy Garoppolo plays, Dan, they're hard to beat, you know, and it's a phenomenon, right? They did everything they could to move on from him. Then in the most ironic situation, Lance gets hurt, and now he's playing great again for them. They're going to be a team that no one wants to play, and I look at Dallas, San Francisco, and Philadelphia as to be the top three clear favorites in the conference.
Maybe anything different about Philadelphia the last couple of weeks? You know, they lose that game 2 weeks ago. Last week, they had to pull that one out at the last seconds against Jeff Saturday and the Indianapolis Colts. Do you maybe get any sort of vulnerability from them over the last couple of weeks, or this is just part of a long season?
You know, I give them a lot of credit. You know, they lost to Washington. They go out to get Linville Joseph. They get Ndamukong Suh. They're trying to patch holes. I give them a lot of credit for trying to attack their weaknesses in season. From a team-building standpoint, Dan, that's really hard to do. So I don't really have a ton of concerns about them. I think they'll be there at the end with Dallas and, again, you know, maybe San Francisco. But Philly's and Dallas's defense are so good. And now, if San Francisco's healthier, they may become part of that conversation as well. But they've been really banged up on defense most of the year.
Now, when you flip on over to the AFC side, you know, that one we had on Sunday night, that was another fun one between the Chiefs and the Chargers. Both of those quarterbacks, you know, it was a showdown between Herbert and Mahomes. And, you know, it really is remarkable when you have Mahomes and a guy, you know, his team falls behind there in the final couple of minutes. And all he needs is a little over 60 seconds to take his team down the field, put him right back into the end zone. Doesn't matter who's in the lineup, who's out of the lineup. I mean, that's why if you're a team looking at Kansas City or anybody looking at Kansas City right now, obviously they're going to be one of the teams that has a chance to go all the way just because of how special the quarterback is.
Yeah, we take his greatness for granted. To say anybody else is the MVP, I think that just falls short this year. And their greatness is unbelievable. And they move on from the great Tyreek Hill, who's having a great year for Miami. And offensively, like Dan, they don't miss a beat. And that's all because of him. They have some young players on defense, Karlaftis, McDuffie, a couple first-rounders that have helped them. They have two really good linebackers, and Bolton and Gay that I like a lot. And I think this is a team that should be favored in the AFC.
How serious do you take the Tennessee Titans? Because they're almost, you know, they have that, you look at them at 7-3, they're in first place, the division's not very good, but I don't know if people are necessarily blown away by them being 7-3. But big picture here in this conference, how do you look at the Titans?
You know, it's so interesting. You know, like we think about like our great sport and how well it's covered, right? And who was the number one seed a year ago? It was Tennessee. They may be the number one seed again, and nobody talks about them. So, look, Ryan Tannehill, I've been a big fan of. He didn't play well against Cincinnati in the playoff game. But I think that's the one team that Kansas City probably doesn't want to face, because the best defensive game plan to stop Patrick Mahomes is to give the ball to Derrick Henry. So, long way to go. But Tennessee is an intriguing team, and give them credit because they lost a really good, talented player in Harold Landry that's been out for the year. They drafted a guy in Caleb Farley in the first round a year ago, a corner that really hasn't been healthy, Dan. And despite that, they still play really good defense. They're really well coached. And, again, I think if you asked Andy Reid who he wouldn't want to play, and he answered that question honestly, in one game, it's probably Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans.
They've been the giant slayer for sure. And as you said, they've got that formula that travels with you and is successful and proven to be successful late in the season, January, when you're in the playoffs. No doubt about that. Mike, great stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate the conversation. Once again, happy Thanksgiving to you and the family, and we'll talk again real soon.
All right, Dan. Thanks so much. Really appreciate you having me.
All right, there's Mike Tannenbaum joining us here on the Michael Kay Show. It's time now for this Big Blue Report on 98.7 ESPN. It is driven by Ramsey Mazda. We began the show a couple of hours ago talking about the New York Football Giants, their performance yesterday against the Dallas Cowboys. They come up 8 points short. We were talking into some of the issues there with Mike a few minutes ago. And look, the sky is not falling just yet. I don't think you have to take that approach when you're assessing what's going on here with the Giants. You know, they go into Dallas shorthanded, and, you know, I know that if you're Brian Daboll, you don't want to hear this. If you're a player on that team, you don't want to hear this. But I can say this because I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm just telling it like I see it. I think the Giants gave you an effort pretty much that you could be proud of yesterday. Was it perfect? Of course not. Did they make mistakes? Yes. But as I said, you're playing one of the best teams in their building on Thanksgiving Day, short week, short turnaround, and you're completely depleted with injuries. You know, seven guys in the starting lineup yesterday for the New York Giants who they picked up off the street after the year already started. So what do you expect? You know, you can't wave a magic wand and expect all your problems and all your talent deficiencies to be solved. I mean, you know, Giant defense finally ran out of steam in that second half. Well, is that really too big of a surprise when you're out your two starting corners and you got Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and they keep chucking the ball around the yard? I mean, eventually, the dam's going to break. Now, as I also said earlier, I maybe if I'm Wink Martindale, who certainly knows his players a lot better than I do, but all I know is that if you're going to keep dialing up the blitz and leaving your corners out there on an island one-on-one to cover these guys, maybe that's not the best approach with guys who aren't suited and who aren't used to being in those situations on a regular basis. They're backups for a reason. You know, you're not going to operate the offense or operate the defense the same way if you have different people in the lineup. You know, look at it from an offensive standpoint. If you got, you know, the Chicago Bears, for example, if Justin Fields is not going to be able to play on Sunday against the Jets, and they're going to roll Trevor Siemian out there, all those RPOs and all those design runs that the Bears incorporate into their offense to utilize Justin Fields' strengths, they're not going to be calling those with Trevor Siemian because he is not as good of an athlete as Justin Fields is, right? So you have to tailor the system to your players and to the talent that you have available. And I don't think the Giants did that necessarily on defense throughout the course of that football game. Not to the way that I see it. Now, look, would it have made a difference? Are they walking off that field with a win? I don't know, because then the other problem was the offense in the second half, to where they didn't really get anything going, and they couldn't run the football efficiently again yesterday. And therein lies a common theme that we've seen for the last couple of weeks from the Giants, is that when you're not running the football and Saquon Barkley is not having a monster game, how are you going to find ways to move the ball up and down the field? And they have not figured that out, at least playing that chess match to the opposing team, because the Lions figured it out, and the Lions made adjustments midway through that football game last week. The Cowboys made adjustments at halftime yesterday, and why the Giants couldn't really get anything going on the offensive end. So they might run into those issues moving forward. You know, you still have huge games coming up if you're the Giants. You got the two with Washington, and those Washington games are not gimmies, no longer. You got Philadelphia sandwiched between them. I mean, Giants still have not won a game in the division because you lost both to the Cowboys. So if this NFC East is going to stay bottled up like it is right now, tiebreakers are going to be huge. They're going to be huge. You got to start winning these games. These next three are super important for the Giants. You know, I don't want to get greedy, and you can't even expect to say that they're going to win two out of those three, but you got to get at least one. You have to. Like, if you're a Giant fan right now, when I told you you'll lose two out of the next three to Washington and Philly, that gets you to 8-6. Would you sign up for that? I think you have to. I think you have to. Because the NFC stinks. 8-6, you're still in a good position. With Minnesota, Indianapolis, and Philly to close out the year, the final three. And as I said a little bit earlier, that Philadelphia game might mean absolutely nothing to the Eagles, and they could rest guys, and you might be in a really good situation to possibly steal a playoff spot in Week 18. All right, you want to say that Washington is going to hang around this thing till the very end? You look at what they still have the rest of the way. Giants next week, after the Falcons this week at home, which is a game I think they'll win. Then they play two straight against the Giants because they have their bye week sandwiched in between. Falcons, the two Giant games, let's say they split those. That's 2-1. At San Francisco, no shot. That's 2-2. Cleveland at home is very winnable. That's 3-2. And then Cowboys at home, I think Dallas might still need that game. Let's say 3-3 for Washington. That gets you to 9-8. So that still coincides with what we've been saying all this time about the Giants. Get to 10. All right, Dallas, Philly, Dallas, Giants, Minnesota, Tampa, San Francisco, Seattle. Four of those teams are going to win divisions. So if you're looking at wild cards right now, Dallas, Giants, Washington, Seattle. Three spots available, four teams. Giants are still in good shape. And I still think they're going to get there. I really and truly believe that they're going to find their way into the playoffs. If you're a Giant fan and think differently, I'd love to hear it. 800-919-3776. That is the telephone number. And that was the Big Blue Report. It was driven by Ramsey Mazda. It's the experience of driving a new Mazda and buying a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Remember, we're going to talk to Greg Buttle coming up in about 10 minutes. A little Jet football with him. We got ENN coming up at 6 and Anthony Pusick vehicle this evening. We're taking it till 7. It's Dan Grasso in for the Michael Kay Show, 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, Sunday, right here on 98.7, of course, you got the
Ray-Row.
Jets and you got the Bears. Yes, it's a radio-only vehicle. Coverage begins at 11 a.m. with myself and my broadcast partner. He is, of course, former New York Jet great. He is number 51. He is Greg Buddle, and he's nice enough to actually take time out of his Thanksgiving weekend to join us here on the program. Sir, happy Thanksgiving. How the heck are you?
Yes, I have been. I've been very satisfied with the food. Let me put it that way.
How was the club? Did they meet all of your needs and demands? How did that work out for you?
I'll tell you, Wheatley has a great chef. He was spectacular. The turkey was as moist as you can get. The fixings were great. And it was an endless line of desserts of what you wanted. It was awesome.
I can see you when you go to one of these places, just because, you know, I know you. I could see you as being a guy who actually, like, marches back into the kitchen and has, like, one-on-one conversations with the chef just to instruct on how you want things prepared. Am I reading that properly or no?
Well, look, I'm laughing. I would. But usually I don't march into the kitchen. Bobby, the chef, comes out and says, how was that? And I'm going, geez, it was cooked perfectly at 156 degrees, and that's the way I like it. He goes, you got it. I got to say, it's awesome. It's a bunch of real good guys. The food was great. The family had a great time. And cheers to everybody that had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Tremendous. Absolutely. And, of course, one of the things that goes with Thanksgiving is the football. And big one again for the Jets coming up on Sunday. And they'll have a little bit of a different look under center because Zach Wilson out, Mike White in. Do you think this was a move to switch quarterbacks that you felt was necessary?
I would tell you that last year, I would have told you it wasn't necessary because they really were going nowhere last year. This year, it's a different feel over there, man. I will tell you something. They really believe they have a championship caliber defense. Doesn't mean they have the greatest defense in the world, but it means they've got a defense good enough to be competitive in every single game they play. That being said, you know me. You gotta throw the ball. I don't care what anyone tells me. I don't care what any coach says about running the ball. The way to score in this league is through the air. And if you can't do that, you are so limited and you are so pigeonholed that anybody's going to stop your ground game. So you're done. So you've got to have a quarterback that's well-versed and experienced enough to understand the different coverages and the line play and the blitzes and all those things. And I don't believe for one second this is a knee-jerk reaction by Coach Sell. I believe that he started the flag waving when they made Mike White the second-team quarterback, and I guess that was before the bye. So you know the writing was on the wall, and you've got to improve. And it went the other way. And unfortunately, the Jets lost a football game, a really good football game. You and I loved the game. Except for the last play. It was a great game. And unfortunately, I would say the quarterback didn't lose the game. The punt return team did. I'm breaking it down to simplicity. 2 yards in the second half of offense. I mean, there's a lot to go around with that. It's just not the quarterback. But I will tell you something. I think it was well thought out, and they decided, let's go with Mike White, sit back, and as Salah said, let's do a reset on him. Why not?
Well,
why not?
And here's the other thing. Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that, look, I mean, you know this. The quarterback is going to get the blame. He's going to get the credit. That just comes with the position more so than anybody else. You said it. I mean, you 2 yards of offense in the second half. And that was a situation where it wasn't even, you know, you score 10 points, you'd win the game. No, Greg, if they scored six, you know, they would have won that game 6-3, and they couldn't even muster even a second field goal in that game. But you talked about the running game. And I know that there's a lot of factors that go into it. But the fact of the matter is that since Brees Hall went down in that Denver game, you've had the two Patriot games and the Buffalo game. With the exception of really that last drive against the Bills where they ran the ball right down their throats and down the field, they haven't been as successful on the ground. So if you're not getting the help with the run game, that puts more onus on the quarterback, and the plays just weren't being made through the air where the film would show that maybe they should have been being made.
No, I definitely agree. And again, it's like I know it was windy out there the last game, but he certainly did not play well enough. And I think that was the last straw that game. Two yards. I don't think it had anything to do with him, you know, with that, you know, the whole blow up of he took no responsibility. Of course he took responsibility. I mean, no one, I don't think anyone on that team is so offended by Zach Wilson saying, no, I didn't, I don't think it, I was the reason or whatever he said, where he didn't take blame, and he didn't cast blame, but he didn't take blame. But everybody in a locker room knows what's going on. And unfortunately he's young. He's a little immature when it comes to that. And hey, listen, he's from Utah. What kind of press conferences has he been in front of? And, you know, and you're in a tough position there because you are the head guy. There's a lot of pressure on you, and you're in New York. You're not in Utah.
Talking with Greg Buddle here on 98.7 ESPN. He'll be part of the Jet coverage with myself beginning at 11 a.m. on Sunday. Jets Bears, a Week 12 showdown there at MetLife Stadium. When you look at Mike White, you know, we saw Mike White for a little bit last year. Had the great game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Had that cameo against the Indianapolis Colts that next Thursday night, and he got hurt and couldn't finish the game. Then he came back and played the Bills, and he threw four interceptions, and it was probably one that he'd like to leave behind him. The fact of the matter, though, Greg, you know, when the switch was made, since they've been running this offense the last 2 years under Mike LaFleur and Robert Saleh, it hasn't looked better through the air than it did that day against the Cincinnati Bengals on Halloween of 2021, and Mike White was the guy who was the quarterback that day. So all those things being said, is that enough to kind of latch onto and say, boy, this Jet passing game now with even better weapons at the skill positions, there should be marked improvement because we've seen Mike White do this before?
You know, you bring up a good point. And, you know, if I were a Jet fan out there and Mike White's coming in, I would not be afraid of having that kid behind center. One game does not make a career, but certainly one game does give you confidence that you can go do it again. He got hurt in the second game that he played. Was that against Buffalo that he got hurt?
That was the Indianapolis game.
Yeah, and so you never know that injury could have bothered him the following week. I just don't know that, but I like Mike White. I'm not expecting him to go out there and put 50 points on the board, but I think what would be acceptable is a quarterback that plays well, makes good decisions, and if there's a turnover, it's because you got strip sacked or something, and you didn't throw a meatball in the air and have it picked off. So that's what I'm expecting from Mike White, and I'm pretty sure that's what the coaches are expecting from him.
You're looking at this Bears team that you're playing on Sunday, and look, Justin Fields is questionable. Don't know if he's going to play, but I would think from a defensive perspective. Now, look, Robert Saleh said all the right things today in the press conference. He said, we're preparing for both quarterbacks. But, I mean, Greg, let's be real. If Justin Fields is the Bears quarterback versus Trevor Siemian, they do different things. Trevor Siemian can't do the things that Justin Fields does. So as a defensive player, that's got to alter the way that you approach this game, does it not, given who you might see, who you might not see?
I would tell you right now, I think that Fields is a big component. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's just, he's taken off and running. Now he's paying for it because he's got a bad shoulder. I mean, so there comes a point like everyone tries to figure out that, like, for instance, all the Chicago coaches figured out, hey, listen, this we can make things happen if this kid's running the ball. And a lot of those things are executed with play call. But if you're going to get him hurt all the time, you're going to have to cut back on that. And how do you keep him from getting hurt? Well, I'll tell you what, run out of bounds, slide. I don't care if you slide 5 yards before there's a player next to you. I don't want you getting hit. So to me, I think that he still creates a problem, because if it's not his throwing shoulder, then the kid can play. The kid can play. The question is how much pain is that shoulder in when he throws the ball? And I'm not so sure I know or anyone else knows.
When you look at what this team still has in front of them with 7 games left to play, you're 6-4, you know, thanks to the Patriots losing last night, you're back in a playoff position for the time being. Is it realistic to expect that there's not going to be any drop-off whatsoever given, okay, the schedule might be a little challenging in spots, but now you got a quarterback that at least the rest of the team has confidence in that locker room? Not to say that they all didn't in Zach Wilson, but that's one thing that we do know. That whole room, Greg, they are behind Mike White. They love Mike White.
Without a question. I mean, and Mike White's been around long enough. I mean, he's played for a couple teams, but again, it's one of those things that, you know, it's a weird thing in a locker room. The give and take between offense and defense isn't as grandiose as you may think. A lot of guys are busy doing their own stuff defensively. You go to defensive meetings, you do all those things, so you don't interact with your offensive guys for more than an hour or so if you're in the locker room running around. But everybody's got to do their own job. And if this kid, Mike White, goes out and plays half as well as he did against the Bengals, I'm telling you, the Jets will be sky high that they have somebody that can make the game change. It's like with your defensive thing, the biggest problem defenses have that are good is that their offenses don't make the change. They go 3 and out, and they go 3 and out, and then they go 3 and out. That gets tiring, and it's not tiring really mentally. It's tiring physically because you're on the field all the time. And so when a defense gets an offense that can control the ball out, like they did against Buffalo the last drive anyway. I mean, Zach Wilson played pretty well against the Buffalo Bills, so he's not garbage. You know, he was 5-1 at one point, and he lost twice to the Patriots. But I think that the Jets really, really want him to be their franchise quarterback. But they can't want him so much to put this season in jeopardy when they're at a precipice where they're 1 game out in the lead of the AFC East, 1 game in or out of the playoffs, and it's the middle of the season. What wasn't acceptable, no one thought would be acceptable in the middle of the season, all of a sudden it's not acceptable to lose. And I think it's hilarious because the Jets have really become competitive. You can play as poorly as those New York Jets did against the New England Patriots and lose the game on the last play. That's how close they are to being very, very good.
And I think that they think a change of quarterback for the time being will provide that spark and at least give them a little bit more consistency on offense, to where if you play that well on defense, you're going to walk off the field because you have a little bit more margin for error. And starts on Sunday against the Chicago Bears. Thank you for a couple of minutes, my friend. As always, I will talk to you Sunday morning, and don't go too hard on those leftovers, okay?
No, I'm going to have them tonight. I can tell you right now. And I'm looking forward to what the Jets can do for the remaining part of December. It's December, man. This is now put up or shut up time. And Saleh did that. He put up. He goes, I'm making the decision. He's going to sit. And not every coach can do that.
Meaningful games the rest of the way. Nothing wrong with that. Looking forward to it. See you Sunday, my friend. Thank you.
Got it, buddy. See you. Bye-bye.
There is Greg Buttle. He'll be with me starting at 11 a.m. on Sunday. Jets countdown to kickoff, Jets and Bears. Remember, we got ENN, an Anthony Pusick vehicle, coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. Dan Grasso in for TMKS right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Dan Grasso in for TMKS.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. On this Black Friday, 800-919-3776 is our telephone number. We're taking it right up until 7 o'clock. Then you've got the Knicks. Then you've got the Portland Trailblazers. That is going to be a Ray Santiago production. Anthony, did you see this, by the way? I meant to bring this up earlier.
What's that?
Our buddy Ray Santiago, of course, the coordinating producer of all things MSG-related on our station, Knicks Rangers. And, of course, he's a member of the DNR guys in the morning.
He doesn't sleep, by the way.
Doesn't sleep. Yeah. No, he's a vampire. He's nocturnal. He's alternal because the guy never sleeps with the hours that he keeps. Did you see the picture that he tweeted out like a little while ago? He's outside of Madison Square Garden. On what street that would be? That would be, what is that, 7th, 8th?
I did see this, yeah.
You see this? The way that he shot the picture, though, like if we were playing a game like, okay, what happens next in this picture, I'm not confident that that yellow cab, which is like coming extremely prominent into the shot, that the story is going to have a happy ending for the taker of this photo. Do you know what I'm saying?
I thought you meant the scooter. The guy with the scooter was in trouble. Well, there's a lot going on. Scooter guy's in trouble. Ray's in trouble.
Scooter. Right. So I don't know if he necessarily like tried to tailor and to orchestrate a photograph like this that has so many moving parts. But I think you could look at this. This is like an exercise for kids in a classroom. Like, tell us what wrong is going to happen in this picture next. And you have multiple things to choose from.
Maybe because the phone was up and there's probably a flash. The cab thought Ray was flagging him down.
What we need to do
is
we need to establish contact with Ray and to make sure he's okay, number one, that he made it into Madison Square Garden, two, and that, you know, he emerged in one piece from this photograph.
We could do that. We have people that could do that.
When that happens, you have to let us know. You know, the whole, like, breaking news and everything. Because I'm genuinely concerned for our friend's well-being based on this picture. Dangerous. Dangerous, I tell you. Let's go back to the phones at 800-919-3776. Anthony's in the mail truck. He is up next. Anthony, happy Thanksgiving, my friend. How are you?
Dan the man, happy Thanksgiving. Hope it was great, brother.
Absolutely.
Really quick, before I get to my giant point, and you know that jet loss, I forgot to tell you the other night, hurt a lot more because it was going to close out a 16 parlay for me, $50 to win $2,100, I think, and all I needed the Jets to do was lose by four. That's it. I had 4.5, and it was a crushing defeat, and I don't think I'll ever bet the Jets again just because of that game.
Anthony, forget about losing by 4.5. Yeah. They should have won the game by more than 4.5.
I agree.
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't agree more.
Hey, you know what? I'll tell you what. Mike White plays that game. They're probably winning that one comfortably. And I think the Jets know that, too.
Joe Flacco plays that game. They win that game comfortably.
That, too. You're right. You're right.
So if I were to ask you, as a non-Giant fan, but a fan of a team in the NFC East, what would scare you the most about the Giants for the future?
Scare me the most about the future?
Yeah.
Two things. Number one, you still don't have the definitive answer long-term at quarterback. Number two, sounds like they're going to re-up with Saquon Barkley, which I think is the right decision. But kind of making that same mistake again, not so much, all right, you drafted a running back number two overall. If they pay maybe a little more than they should for a running back on a second contract and he breaks down, those would be my two concerns.
Right. So where I was going with that, and I love the answer, where I was going with that is me being a Cowboys fan, I am so scared of Brian Daboll it is scary because without Brian Daboll as the head coach of this Giants football team, I think that score is closer to the Vikings game than it was last night. And I think it's, you know, he gets them up, you know, for these games. And you know, you could really see when a team rallies around their coach and, you know, rallies around their leader. And their leader right now is Brian Daboll. And there's no doubt about it.
100%. And Anthony, thanks for the phone call. Like, I don't know, like I said, the question, yeah, if you're not a fan of the Giants, if you're a Cowboy fan, yeah. And if you're a Giant fan, you love Brian Daboll. No way are the Giants 7-4 and in the thick of a playoff race if Brian Daboll is not the head coach. That's why he is the coach of the year. I know that other coaches are doing a real good job. O'Connell's doing a great job in Minnesota as a first-timer. You know, Mike McDaniel, what he's doing in Miami. But those teams have more talent than the Giants do on paper. Throwing all the injuries the Giants have thrown at them this year, Daboll's the coach of the year. No other way around it here in 2022. When we come back, it's a little ENN time. That's right. Anthony Pusick is going to handle the duties tonight. We're looking forward to that. Dan Grasso in for TMKS. We roll till 7, then it's Knicks basketball here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.